The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Now, if you're a renter or looking to start renting for the first time, do you know what documents are required to provide the letting agent or private landlord with? Anecdotal evidence has talked about providing months of bank statements, pay slips, references. In one case we heard, a personality test was required, which asked about the individual's religion, who do they have over, and what their book preferences were. I love that idea about book preferences. But anyway, here to tell us what you actually need is Ray Cook, CEO at Ray Cook Auctioneers. Ray, we should have you on the bookshelf and I actually ask you what your book preferences are. Is that a legitimate question for a landlord to ask a would-be renter?
How's it going, Shane? No, that's the first I've heard of that as well now. So, no, that's not true at all. I don't know. That might have been a private landlord or something like that.
It did happen. We absolutely can confirm it did happen. I'm not saying it's widespread, but we know of a case that did happen.
No, it's not. Yeah.
What about personality tests, asking people what their religion is? I would have thought that's...
No, you can't ask it. You can't ask anything like that. I think that's I think a lot of it is rubbish, like, you know, personality tests and everything like that. None of that comes into it when you're renting a property. You know, when we set up a viewing, we're very clear from the outset what we're looking for if you're going to rent the property off Ray Cook Lettings. So we would ask them for a current or a previous landlord reference.
Okay.
If they have rented before, an employer reference or a character reference. Photo ID, obviously, we have to make sure they are who they say they are. So it'll be driver's license or passport. 3 months bank statements for your day-to-day account. And then 3 months pay slips or 3 months record of any social welfare payments.
Okay. All of that sounds fine, bar one thing to me. Asking somebody for their bank statements, I think, is an outrageous intrusion on people's privacy.
Why, Shane?
Because it's none of your business what is in people's bank statements. But I don't mean to sound ballsy, but it is. It's nobody's business bar that own person what's in their bank statement.
Okay, but the problem that we have in the industry is we have to make sure that when we rent a property to someone that they can afford to live in that property. Okay, so the only way that we can prove that is obviously their pay slips and their bank statements. And the reason we have started getting bank statements over the last number of years is because the amount of false documents you get. So, like I said, so we have to balance one off the other.
Okay.
So, and we have
now,
to make sure
slips,
that the
payments absolutely that get. I totally understand the point you're making. You know, rents nowadays are expensive and it's a complicated business. You sign the lease and all that and it can be very complicated then if somebody isn't paying their... I'm very empathetic and sympathetic about that. But do pay slips not cover that? I mean, if the wage is sufficient... and I'm sure you guys have, you know, you expert...
No, because the amount of false documents there that we get, Shane, is unreal. So we have to ensure that the people that are moving in, unfortunately, the way the rules are and the rental rules are now, they're lopsided towards the tenants. So once you get a tenant in there, it's very hard. Like, they can go in and stop paying rent. And unfortunately, with the rules there, it could take you 12...
No, I get that. I get that. But if you can falsify, if you can falsify,
it's their job to make sure.
No, I get that. But if you can, falsify a wage slip, surely you can falsify a bank statement.
Yeah, but again, we look at certain things. I'm not going to obviously say this on radio because, again, then everyone will alter it. But we look at certain things to make sure that they can afford to live in the property. It's not just about paying the rent. They have to be able to obviously pay the electricity bill and the heating costs. They have to be able to put food on the table. If they have children, they're going to have a certain amount of money. So if the rent is $2,500 a month, $30,000 after tax that they have to pay rent, if, let's just say, they're not social welfare. So like I said, it's $30,000 they have to pay. So if they're only on $3,000 a month combined, you can't rent a property to them because they can't run a house on 500 euros.
Does your pay slip not tell you that? There's a lot of private information.
Because again, we have to proof check there that the like a lot of, we get a lot of forgery, Shane. So that's the problem now in the market that you're in. Like I said, only this week alone, someone sent me a DM on social media saying I had signed a reference for someone. So straight away I knew it was a flag because I don't sign references for anyone. My team does. And we looked at it, but they had my headed paper, they had everything. And they were using our false documents to try to rent a property, saying that they rented a property off
us
before.
I've no doubt. So I've no doubt.
This is quite common in it.
But can those people not falsify bank statements?
They can, yeah, but that's only one check.
Yeah.
But again, our responsibility is to make sure that the people going in there can afford to pay the rent and are going to be able to live in the property. Because again, if it comes down to a choice, putting food on the table is going to be number one. Electricity and heating is going to be number two, and paying rent is going to be number three in that order.
It is.
So when it comes down to it, in the winter 6 months, when we all know,
I get that, and you've made that point.
So
but Ray, I have to
sure
put it to you again:
the people that live in it, they can afford to.
We have that point. I have to put it to you again: like, there is very private information in your bank statement. There are things you purchase that you might not want people to know for various different reasons. Yeah. And again, I have to put it to you. Like, this is a classic seller's market thing. You know, the landlord can ask for pretty much whatever they want at the moment.
The landlord doesn't see the bank statements. So, like I said, the only person in my company that would see it would be the letting agent and their manager.
Yeah.
So there's two people, and we would delete, like I said, any of this information afterwards. So it's only to make sure that we are getting the right person to rent that property.
Are you able to blank out any personal information that might be in there
if they're blanking out information, and like I said, what we will check is that to make sure in the bank statements that they're not overdrawn every month. You know, because if they're living at home with mommy and daddy and they're overdrawn every month, how are they going to be able to afford, and there's three of them moving into a house, how are they going to be able to afford to pay their 900 euros or 1,000 euros?
What if they didn't want you
rental?
To know that they were, example, you know, private stuff? Like, let's say they were going to a counselling service, for example.
We wouldn't have an issue with that. But if it came in there that 90% of the thing was redacted, that we wouldn't. We've no proof there that they have a certain income. You know, like, no one can be that private. That there might be something there that they're going to a counsellor, or we had another one with IVF kind of treatment and stuff like that. We've no issue with that. And like, again, everything that we would view would be obviously confidential. But like I said, all we're trying to do is to make sure that we are getting the right tenant.
Reputable agency, and I've no doubt that this absolutely wouldn't happen with you. But I'm always wary about giving my bank details and details of purchases to people, because I don't know what they're going to do with that information. I'm not suggesting for a second in your agency that would be a problem. But in another agency, maybe less reputable, less established, there's something in me that just says it is not right to ask for people's bank statements and the detail in those bank statements.
Yeah, but again, we're a regulated industry now. So if anyone ever had an issue, they can obviously report us to the regulator. So this isn't like it was back pre-2012, before we had a regulator in the Celtic Tiger years. The estate agency market or the letting agency market is a different industry now, like I said. And it's like giving statements to whatever. It's like giving that statement to someone in a bank or a mortgage broker. Would you not find them? Well, hold on, you're giving them statements.
My bank account is with them. So, like, they have access to that information.
Not to a mortgage broker, it's not, Shane. So, like I said, if you're applying for a mortgage, you have to give everything to them. So, like I said, so could you not say the same thing about them there, that if you had something on your mortgage statement, that you could say the same thing, that the mortgage broker is going to be looking at something or sharing your document?
It's 10 years since I went to a mortgage broker. I don't remember providing details of my bank transactions to them. Obviously, I had to give a lot of information.
You would have to give them 6 months to 12 months bank statements for all of your accounts. So whether it be your Revolut or Post Office or your Bank of Ireland or AIB, every single account that you have, and with your wife or with your partner, you would have to give them every single thing. So it's the exact same thing. Like, again, we are a professional industry. Like I said, we're a regulated industry. So, like I said, we can ask for these things in a professional manner. Like I said, we would delete our information afterwards. So, like I said, but the only thing we are requesting there is just to make sure that if a Shane Coleman is coming in to rent a property off us, there, that he or she can obviously afford to live in that property and can obviously pay the rent on a monthly basis. He's not going to default after 2 or 3 months. And the reason we do this is because this is what happened before, Shane. This is, and then landlords have been in a very bad situation before where they can't get the tenant out. The tenant stops paying rent because they can't afford to pay it, or their electricity bill doubles, or their, you know, or whatever. We've all seen the price of shopping there, how much it's gone up. We don't want tenants there that can't afford to live in the property when something as simple as 10% goes up. You know, that sounds a bit harsh, but that's the reality of it.
Okay, well, listen, thanks for talking to us today. Ray Cook there, CEO of Ray Cook Auctioneers. Let us know what you think. 087 1400 106.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman. With Kia. Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.